Catch this interview and other off-air highlights in this week's Lane Mitchell Show podcast, free on iTunes and at sonic1029.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sonic Listener Lounge. Joining us today, an artist who released his brand new album, The Lemon Squeeze, May 13th. And in midst of a cross-Canada tour, no Edmonton date, though, this is just a special visit from A1, Jeremy Fisher.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the success of the new album, for one thing. It's amazing.
Thanks a lot.
I've been listening to it all morning. More of a piano pop vibe with kind of a retro-y twist than past stuff. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. First record I wrote entirely on the piano, as a matter of fact.
I did not know that. What's your musical background? How did you get into this?
Well, I started on the piano as a kid, and I quit 2 years later. And then I played the clarinet for a while, and then I bought an electric guitar behind my parents' back because they were mad that I'd already quit two instruments. And they were so mad that I guess I stuck with it. And so I started writing songs and did a little bit of musical theater and made a couple records. And then finally, you know, got to my sixth one, which is The Lemon Squeeze, my sixth studio album. And I had run out of songs on the guitar for the time being, so I decided to learn the piano.
Now, why call your album The Lemon Squeeze? Is that a drink? Like, the last album was Mint Julep, right?
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not much of a mixologist, but I was trying to tell you the honest truth. I didn't have a title for the album, and I was doing a residency with my band so that we could kind of get in shape around Ottawa where I live, and I came up with the name Lemon Squeeze to be the band name instead of using my name. And I just liked it. Honestly, I just like the way the word squeeze looks. I like it phonetically, but I really like Z's. I don't know why I'm attracted to certain letters, but I like double E's and I like Z's a lot. It's the weirdest explanation, I know, but
well, no, there's a handful of artists that find, you know, certain sounds sort of inspiring or certain, just the sound of certain words, and they kind of write a song around that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like naming things. Like, I don't have any kids, but I'm afraid I might give up. But, like, you know, get some decision paralysis, just call them, like, 1 and 2. 1,000 and 2,000.
This is squeezy and wheezy and sneezy.
Yeah, squeezy and wheezy.
Well, this album, I would have characterized your stuff in the past as sort of a Joel Plaskett, Paul Simon-y kind of thing. This album is more Billy Joel, Elton John. Was that sort of a conscious change in direction?
Yeah, I really wanted to make something that was different from what I'd done before, and I set out to write like a Randy Newman-style record, and then I realized that, you know, unless you're Randy Newman, not a lot of people want to hear you do that. So I don't know why he gets a pass on it. It's just like he just sits down and talks about things and says racist things, and you know, and he gets away with it for some reason, but I mean, I kid, but anyway, I sat down. I was really inspired by Randy Newman, and then I ended up making something that sounded like Billy Joel. You're right. And I don't know. I think that there's always a discrepancy between what I'm trying to do and what I actually do. And there you have it. I'm a Billy Joel guy at heart. Who knew?
Well, I mean, indie folk was just sort of hitting its stride, but this is, I would say, your poppiest record yet.
Yeah, right. I should have made a Mumford & Sons style record. Like, I've been strumming this acoustic guitar and playing harmonica for years, and then they become the biggest band in the world, and I go make a Billy Joel-like record.
And you're on to the next thing. I thought it was an interesting choice and a fantastic one.
Well, thanks. I do give seminars on business and marketing.
And Randy Newman cover bands.
Yeah.
Randy Newman cover band consultant. What's the first song you're going to play for us?
I'm going to play the single. I'm going to play Uh-Oh, and I'm going to do it for the first time ever in front of you all on the guitar because my keyboard is not with me at the moment. Just got here from the airport.
Jeremy Fisher, everyone.
Can't prove it, uh-oh. You got another legit, uh-oh. The glove don't fit, uh-oh. You gotta quit, uh-oh. I never took a hit, uh-oh. That's all you're gonna get, uh-oh. Well, I'll never admit, uh-oh. I never smoked it, uh-oh. The charges won't stick, cause Monday morning I'm a brand new man. Tuesday, catch me if you can. Wednesday night, I got up. in my Sunday best. You can't prove it, uh-oh. You got nothing legit, uh-oh. Your glove don't fit, uh-oh. You gotta acquit, uh-oh. The charters won't stick, cause Monday morning I'm a brand new man. Tuesday, catch me if you can. Wednesday night, I got a alibi. Thursday, Friday, I catch some heat. Saturday night, I got a fever. Meet the press in my Sunday best. I ain't no sucker, ain't you lollipop, but you can kiss my sweet, uh-huh. Never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never gonna stop chasing me like I'm the Holy Grail. Like a dog chases tail, I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never gonna stop. You can't prove it, uh-oh. You got nothing legit, uh-oh. The glove don't fit, uh-oh. You gotta acquit, uh-oh. The charters won't stick, cause Monday morning I'm a brand new man. Tuesday, catch me if you can. Wednesday night, I got a alibi. Thursday, Friday, I catch some heat. Saturday night, I got a fever. Meet the press in my Sunday best. I ain't no sucker, ain't you lollipop, but you can kiss my sweet, uh-huh. Never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never gonna stop chasing me like I'm the Holy Grail. Like a dog chases tail, you can't prove it, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Jeremy Fisher, uh-oh. Sonic 102.9's Booster Juice Listener Lounge. I'm not a lyrics guy. When I was listening to that song, one of the things that stood out to me, the glove doesn't fit. I was like, is that an OJ reference?
I believe it is.
Wow. And, well, the glove doesn't fit. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the OJ Simpson chase. Yeah. White Bronco, 405.
Yeah, it's kind of a cult, like a pop culture shorthand for I'm going to get away with this.
It's sort of an interesting thing to include on your record after the... I don't want to say after the fact, but I mean, it's one of those things where 20 years down the road, were you afraid people wouldn't get it? Like younger fans?
No, I'm not afraid. I figured that if they didn't get the reference, they would Google it because they're all pretty tapped into the smartphones. So, no, I don't worry too much about that. I mean, I'm more worried about saying things that are just plain embarrassing. I'll stop there.
Now, what's the weirdest thing you've ever gotten away with that, you know, you didn't think you would, but it happened?
The weirdest thing I got away with? Well, I wouldn't still be getting away with it if I told you. This is for me to take to my
deathbed.
No
statute of limitations?
I don't think it applies to this terrible thing.
And how does a guy go about getting Serena Ryder on his record? She guests in that song.
Yeah, she does an awesome job too. I had the song all done, and I was we were mastering it, and I'd always had this vision for it having like the En Vogue style female vocals happening in the background, and I thought of her immediately. I met her when she was 18, and we were both. I opened for her at the Black Sheep Inn in Wakefield, Quebec, and so we've known each other and bumped into each other over the years, and kind of stayed in touch. And so I emailed her the song. She was on vacation, and I said, I asked her manager first, did the right thing, and her manager's, she's on vacation. So then I said, I just sent it directly to her. And then she's like, I would love to do this. So, and I'm in California. I'll go to my friend's studio. And like probably 3 days later, we emailed her the tracks. She emailed back amazing vocal takes. And we mixed them right in. And there you go.
Now, this album also has kind of more of a more of a studio sound to it. Like past records, if like when I'm listening to them kind of in my head, I listen back and I imagine you playing them all kind of in one take, you know, even the instruments that are, you know, overdubs and also played by you.
There's a lot of mistakes is what you're trying to say.
No, it's got a rootsier kind of more organic vibe. This is a little more, I'm trying to think of the good way to say clinical.
No, I really
can't think of a better.
That's cool. I mean, I know what you're saying and it's true. And most of my records are very live. They've been live off the floor, me playing and singing like I have been here. And then we put all the other stuff around it. This one was maybe surgical is a word you want to use. Like we were very methodical about how we put the record together. I did sit down and play everything on the piano and vocal at first. Then we brought in the drummer. And then we played some bass and we wrote all the other stuff around it. And then we took out the original stuff I did and the producers really harped on me to do great performances and do things like sing in tune and in time, which were also new experiences for me.
Well, you know, it's interesting for you to have so many changes on one record and for it to be more Jeremy Fishery, more Jeremy Fisherish, Fisherisher?
Jeremy Fishy.
Fisherisher than the last record.
Yeah, well, it is funny. Like, it's funny that, you know, I'm now, when I was younger, I mean, my first record is a straight up folk record. It's got a song on it called Saddle Up the Horse that's about like the old West, you know? And I felt like an old man trapped in a young man's body. And now I'm getting, you know, close to 30. And so now I want to recapture my youth. So I'm making a pop record.
So any chance we could squeeze you for another song?
Yeah, you sure could. Good choice of words there, Lane. Why don't I do, I'll do, do you guys want to hear The Bride is Dead? This is a peppy little wedding song. It's also off the new record. It's based on a true story about a guy in Thailand whose girlfriend passed away in a traffic accident, and he was so full of regret that he never asked her to marry him that he decided to marry her posthumously. So I'm really hoping that this will be like our generation's Pachelbel's Canon, something people can march down the aisle to. So here we go. The Bride is Dead.
Everybody save the date, 'cause in the month of May he gonna marry the love of his life. It was the last beat of her heart when death had done the part. He said, gonna make this corpse my bride. Wedding bells are ringing and a maid of honor singing. Oh, the bride is dead, her soul is gone. The bride is dead, beloved. It's like a miracle, her wedding's a funeral. Her man gonna drink and laugh, he said, everybody raise a glass, the bride is dead. It was easier, I guess, fitting in her wedding dress, 'cause she hadn't eaten for a couple weeks. She is old and she's new, she's borrowed and she's blue, so we use a lot of blush on her cheeks. The best man's got the ring and it's beautiful, the only thing is, oh, the bride is dead, the soul is gone. The bride is dead, but love carries on. It's like a miracle, her wedding's a funeral, her man gone. Everybody raise a glass, the bride is dead. You could never break her heart, sure as the night will fall. You could never break her heart, you got the purest love of them all. A hush fell on the room. Preacher asked the groom, do you take this woman as your wife? He said, I do, I did, I probably should have years ago. It moves too fast, this goddamn life, and you can't chase forever. It only lasts while you're together. Oh, the bride is dead, the soul is gone. The bride is dead, but love can't.
Okay, what do you think? Saddest happy song or funniest sad song? It's one of the two, right?
There's your Randy Newman influence. That's the closest I got.
Jeremy Fisher again joining us here in the Sonic Listener Lounge. You're touring with Corb Lund right now. You know he's doing a Smalls reunion.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, very Sonic exciting. Boom. Are you were you a Smalls fan back in the day?
I was more, those were the days of my saddle up the horse and folk music listening. I was more into folk revival stuff, but certainly, you know, since becoming familiar with his music he's been making more recently. Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
Are you still doing the bike tours?
Little bit. Yeah, the last one I did was in 2011, 2 years ago. I did 1,000 kilometers around Ontario, and interesting thing happened. I was rounding the 1,000 kilometer mark because I had a little bike computer that told me so. I pull up my phone. I'm gonna tweet about it, like we do, tell the internet about stupid things we do, like they're our parents and we're looking for approval. And right as I'm doing this, I'm in Cobourg, Ontario. This guy comes over the ridge pushing a jogger along the side of the highway, and he waves at me. I wait for him to catch up, and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing out here?" I said, "Well, I'm just riding my bike around Ontario, playing shows, played like 9 shows in 10 days, and just rounding the 1,000 kilometer mark." And he goes, "That is incredible." I said, "I know, I'm just about to tweet about it." And he goes, I said, "But what are you doing?" And like, "You don't have a kid in there, right?" No. "Well, I'm from Montreal, and 11 years ago, I quit my job and I started walking around the world." The guy had been walking, no coasting on feet, right? Walking around the world for 11 years, and I'm just, I put my phone away. I'm like, can't write about having pedaled and, let's face it, coasted a lot of those 1,000 kilometers. Yeah, it's a true story. Guy's name's Jean Béliveau, and he did it. He had a midlife crisis, sold his business, and walked around the world for peace. Yeah.
So that is, that's impressive.
I was impressed as well. Yeah.
Festival plans, summer tour plans. When can we expect you in Edmonton, more importantly?
Edmonton, I am going to be here in the fall. I believe it's October we're looking at. Maybe November. I'm not totally 100, but definitely in the fall. That's when we're doing all the touring for this record. I'm going to have a nice leisurely summer. I'm only playing resort towns like Jasper and Banff and Calgary.
Well, October, you may want to skidoo here, depending right. on the month.
There's probably a skidoo trail that goes all the way through the province, eh?
See, that's what you should do. That would be the most Canadian thing ever, a skidoo tour.
Man, yeah.
That's next, right?
Can I get you guys on board as a sponsor? Let's do that.
Brought to you by Bombardier. Can we squeeze you for one more song? One more?
Yeah, why don't I play a song that maybe some people are familiar with from an older record? This one's called Cigarette.
It keeps you up from the back of your mind to the tip of your tongue, reaching out, looking for mine. I'll be your cigarette, light me up and get on with it. I'll be so hard to forget, good or bad, I'm just a habit. Good or bad, I'm just your habit. Sweet relief, that's what you come and get from me. I give it up every time you want it. You got it, I'm burning down. It's alright, cause I'll be your cigarette, light me up and get on with it. I'll be so hard to forget, good or bad, I'm just a habit, good or bad, I'm just your habit. single time, honey, you come back around and you try to put me away. Tell yourself that you're gonna kick it someday. Well, I'll be your cigarette. Light me up and get on with it. I'll be so hard to forget. Good or bad, I'm just a habit. Oh, I'll be your cigarette. Light me up and get on with it. I'll be so hard to forget. Good or bad, I'm just a habit. Good or bad, I'm just your habit.
Jeremy Fisher, everyone.
Catch this interview and other off-air highlights in this week's Lane Mitchell Show podcast, free on iTunes and at sonic1029.com.